But when my mother had cancer, she joined some support groups, and they were really very helpful.
Well, they are helpful, and that's a part of not feeling helpless, is feeling like you have other people pulling for you, not just your family, but friends and a professional team that you can really work with. And I think that it's important to have another motivation for the book, is that I wanted to have something with a lot of scientific references. I had a situation where my sister was faced with cancer, and she called me and asked for advice. And she ultimately had surgery and had it removed, and it was very successful. But it really made me think about what to tell people in this kind of situation who are very more conventionally minded. I'm in California, and most of my clients have been people who want alternative therapies and don't want conventional therapy. And, you know, there are a lot of people that want both, of course. That's very common, that they want to try to cover all the bases. But for my sister, I had to come up with information that was very safe, that was well scientifically researched. And that was one of the motivations for writing this book, so that people could have information that's really safe and that they could show their doctor. And this is the point I'm getting to, is that a lot of people feel like their doctor isn't on their team, that they have to hide from their doctor that they're getting acupuncture for stress reduction, or that they ask the doctor about diet changes, and he'll say, you know, well, eat whatever you want. And most oncologists don't really have the time to study all of the literature that is available about non-toxic cancer treatment, which includes diet and supplements. And, there are actually seven factors, components of the healing process that are outlined in the book. And I think it's very important for people that are facing really any kind of dangerous health threat to look at all seven of them and make sure that nothing is being missed. And, you know, diet's an important one, of course.
Yeah, you know, it's such a shame that there are doctors out there that are kind of closed-minded in that way. I mean, I can't imagine a doctor saying it doesn't matter what you eat. That just, it's just beyond my comprehension, because I'm in the alternative world.
Oh, yeah.
And do you have available for the people that you see, do you have doctors that you know of that you can refer them to who are open-minded and are interested in doing both, or maybe just alternative?
Well, yes, I do, and some people go offshore because there are treatments overseas that they want to try. These are people who want alternative treatment, though.
Mm-hmm.
Most people are going to want conventional treatment, and this book is really written for them to be able to optimize what you get from conventional treatment, whether it's chemotherapy or radiation.
Mm-hmm.
And for that reason, the book is much more conservative, and there's nothing in there about any of the alternatives that are actually in a book that I wrote that's coming out in French later this year. But if people do choose to do alternative cancer therapy, though, I still recommend that they read this book, because so many people are looking for the magic bullet. They want to find the thing that's going to cure their cancer, and it's not as simple as that. What people really need to do is build up their life and not be obsessed with life extension. I recommend that people try to build the quality of their life and expand their life, not just extend it. And expanding it means having more quality in your life, more time for yourself, more self-examination of what you really want out of life. And these are some of the things that I think get ignored, because people will look for the magic supplement, the perfect diet, they'll go on juice fasts, and they'll ignore, for example, exercise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, exercise, there's a drop in a relapse rate of 50 to 60% with exercise.
Wow.
In breast cancer patients, according to a study at Duke University. And then the emotional healing, this is another thing that gets ignored.
Yes. That one for me was so huge. You know, I am such a strong believer in emotional healing, and I was so glad to see your chapter on this, and you write, quote, stressful events are the main triggers for the negative emotions that cause emotional distress, but the most important factor for long-term health is to realize that we actually, quote, store up negative emotions and traumas. Now, I'm a huge believer in bioenergetic therapy, And I really feel like part of the reason that my mother got the cancer was she had so much stored up stress from a tough childhood and just all kinds of things. And I always, it just broke my heart. And I've just seen people really come such a long way when they deal with their old crap. I'm just going to put it out right? I mean, I just tell it like it is. And so I was so happy to see that in your book.
Well, our parents' generation also, they're very stoic. You know, there was the Depression, there was World War II, and you just tough it out and move forward, and you don't look back. But it's not so much looking back into the past as it is looking within, because we store up so much from the past that doesn't get processed.
I see.
Now, it's interesting to, this is not in the book, but there is an alternative cancer therapy in Germany that's based entirely on identifying the traumas that have led to a person's cancer and resolving these traumas, and many of these cancer patients heal.
Wow.
It's called German New Medicine. But the trauma healing, I think, is very central to not only to recovery, but to feeling like you own your life again.
Yes, I agree. And you also talk about the psycho-spiritual healing aspect as well.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because it gets into semantics. What's the difference between emotional healing and psycho-spiritual healing? But when I speak of emotional healing, I'm talking specifically about the stored up traumas. But psycho-spiritual healing is at a different level. This is the level at which we address the existential issues of survival and life after death. Whether you're a believer or unbeliever in a deity or a master plan of the universe, you can still take advantage and get benefit from meditation practice, Qigong practice, vision quest, to name a few options. And believe it or not, a lot of these things have already been studied with cancer patients. And journal keeping, things like that, can lead to psycho-spiritual healing.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Now, earlier we talked about some dietary aspects, and something that I thought was very interesting, which I've heard a lot, is that sugar and white flour promote cancer. And again, it makes me think of mainstream oncologists who must react to this like, what? What are you talking about?
Well, if they study their medical history, they know that that cancer cells live on glucose. And when you do a PET scan, which is it's positron emission type of medical imaging, it's different from an X-ray, but a PET scan actually shows glucose metabolism. That's the vital activity that's being measured and imaged. So we know that cancer cells consume voraciously sugar and create lactic acid as a byproduct of that, which creates an unhealthy environment whereby the cancer can spread. Now, we also know that sugar slows down immune system activity.
Mm-hmm.
There's a type of sentinel cell called a natural killer cell. That's really what it's called. It's a white cell,
mm-hmm.
and called NK cells for short. And these natural killer cells attach themselves to abnormal cells, whether they're malignant or whether they're virus-infected, and destroy them on the spot. What people need to remember is that we all produce hundreds, thousands of cancer cells every day, but our bodies normally dispose of them. So, in the book, I look at four different conditions that prevent the body from destroying cancer cells, like most of us do all the time, every day. And one of those is low immunity, and sugar leads to low immunity, but literally within seconds, natural killer cell activity becomes very sluggish, and it begins to ignore abnormal cells and just let them float right on by.
That is so important. I mean, that's why your book is great in so many ways, but that information needs to be out there. And there's so many things that we didn't get to, but I did mention in the introduction that you do deal with so many different aspects, and I really encourage people to get your book. It's wonderful. Now, Dan, how can people learn more about you and your terrific work?
Well, there's dankennerresearch.com, and that's an information website. And I'm getting ready to post a lot of new research that's come up since I finished writing the book. All kinds of interesting research there. There's a little bit about me, but it's mostly about research and information. And the book itself should be available in bookstores, but it's on, you know, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, places like that. And it's really about building health, not so much about fighting cancer. So I think anyone could benefit from reading the book. But the fact is everything that's recommended in there has been researched with cancer patients. So it's I believe that it's solid ground for people who are looking for life extension and improved quality of life.
Yeah, no, it's wonderful. And I want to thank you so much again. And if people want to reach me, they can go to itsyourhealthradio.org. I hope everyone has a great day. Take care. Be well.